snout as an elephant with its trunk. Moose were always getting free. They had a talent for it. And so did velociraptors. Raptors were at least as intelligent as chimpanzees. And like chimpanzees, they had agile hands that enabled them to open doors and manipulate objects. They could escape with ease. And when, as Muldoon had feared, one of them finally escaped, it killed two construction workers and maimed a third before being recaptured. After that episode, the visitor lodge had been reworked with heavy barred gates, a high perimeter fence, and tempered glass windows, and the raptor holding pen was rebuilt with electronic sensors to warn of another impending escape. Muldoon wanted guns as well, and he wanted shoulder-mounted Law missile launchers. Hunters knew how difficult it was to bring down a 4-ton African elephant, and some of the dinosaurs weighed 10 times as much. Management was horrified, insisting there be no guns anywhere on the island. When Muldoon threatened to quit and to take his story to the press, a compromise was reached. In the end, 2 specially built laser-guided missile launchers were kept in a locked room in the basement. Only Muldoon had keys to the room. Those were the keys Muldoon was twirling now.
"I'm going downstairs," he said.
Arnold, watching the control screens, nodded. The 2 Land Cruisers sat at the top of the hill, waiting for the T-Rex to appear.
"Hey," Dennis Nedry called from the far console, "as long as you're up, give me a Coke, okay?"
Grant waited in the car, watching quietly. The bleating of the goat became louder, more insistent. The goat tugged frantically at its tether, racing back and forth. Over the radio, Grant heard Lex say in alarm,
"What's going to happen to the goat? Is she going to eat the goat?"
"I think so," someone said to her, and then Ellie turned the radio down. Then they smelled the odor, a garbage stench of putrefaction and decay that drifted up the hillside toward them. Grant whispered, "He's here."
"She," Malcolm said.
The goat was tethered in the center of the field, 30 yards from the nearest trees. The dinosaur must be somewhere among the trees, but for a moment Grant could see nothing at all. Then he realized he was looking too low. The animal's head stood 20 feet above the ground, half concealed among the upper branches of the palm trees. Malcolm whispered, "Oh my God, she's as large as a bloody building." Grant stared at the enormous square head, 5 feet long, mottled reddish-brown, with huge jaws and fangs. The tyrannosaur's jaws worked once, opening and closing, but the huge animal did not emerge from hiding. Malcolm whispered, "How long will it wait?"
"Maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Maybe..."
The tyrannosaur sprang silently forward, fully revealing her enormous body. In 4 bounding steps, she covered the distance to the goat, bent down, and bit it through the neck. The bleating stopped. There was silence. Poised over her kill, the tyrannosaur became suddenly hesitant. Her massive head turned on the muscular neck, looking in all directions. She stared fixedly at the Land Cruiser high above on the hill. Malcolm whispered,
"Can she see us?"
"Oh, yes," Regis said on the intercom. "Let's see if she's going to eat here in front of us, or if she's going to drag the prey away."
The tyrannosaur bent down and sniffed the carcass of the goat. A bird chirped, her head snapped up, alert, watchful. She looked back and forth, scanning in small, jerking shifts.
"Like a bird,"